Welcome for satsang again. And we start the satsang with a prayer to our guru, to our teacher, for our inner light, our inner guru. And so let's start with this chant with a little bit of mantra for him. Om Akhanda Mandalakaram Vyapatam Yena Characharam Tatpadam Darshitam Ye Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Let us take some time to bring our attention to this moment. Close your eyes and just feel. Feel yourself. Feel the totality of your body. And then go deeper than your body. Sink into that feeling which manifests as light and love within you. And just stay in that state for some time. So today's topic is about vasanas. We're going to talk about tendencies that we have that causes us agitation, restlessness, and sorrow. So we all know that vasanas are specific habitual patterns that replicate within us, which cause restlessness and agitation within us. That is the meaning of vasana. The entire pursuit of human effort, entire goal of us is to find happiness. That is our endeavor. We want joy, we want love, we want happiness. We want to find a place where we can rest, where we can feel infinite love and happiness and light within us, all around us. That is our basic pursuit. And that's why we try to gather, you know, we try to make money so that we can fulfill that. Then we try to find it in relationships. We try to get house. We try to get a lot of worldly things. But somehow, most of it do not, or they fail to deliver us the same happiness or joy that we are seeking. You know, our situation is much like that, like a bird, a sparrow, who tries to seek a place, a nest for itself. And then she finds that outside a house, there is a place that she could get inside and can make a nice nest for her and for her babies. And she enters into it. The bird, if you watch a bird, you will see, you learn a lot of things from a bird. We in India have these balconies in which put these nets so that sparrows and birds don't come inside the house. But there's always going to be a little gap that they try to find, that they're able to manage to sneak from inside. They get inside it and then they roam around, flying around it, struggling in a frantic search to move out into freedom. But it cannot find its way out easily. That is our state. We also try to find a safe haven. We try to find a resting place for ourselves. We try to find happiness into some things, which is relationships. We fall in love, then fall out of love. Relationships drop. Something happens. Health problems happens. Something or other always is taking place in this world. It's not the same. What we are seeking is happiness. When all of that fails, then we start to find out is that in spirituality. So we go to a guru, they teach us meditations, we close our eyes and, you know, we try to find happiness within ourselves, realizing that there are limitations of getting happiness from outside us. We try to go inside. But the bigger issue is they're not that. The bigger issue is that there can still be traps, just like the bird trying to find happiness. Is getting trapped inside the net and cannot find the way out. If you observe, the bird is trying to move, really finding its way out, but just cannot find it. The same gap it cannot find easily. There's a frantic flight by the bird to get free, to get out of that. The same thing with us. Whether it is material things, relationships, or spirituality, it is the same thing. We try to escape into freedom. Once we try to find, once we discover that, oh, this is a trap. This is a trap. We try to find out, seeking out liberation, freedom. And so that's why I'm saying enlightenment or awakening into spirituality is not just about getting those energies moving into your spine or getting into extreme states of joy and happiness or ecstasies or exploring the different voids. But it's mostly about working on your tendencies. And the tendency, and that's what I call the vasanas, are very important to be addressed, because without them, you don't have legs to move. They are the soul of any spiritual study. Any spiritual study without knowledge on how to address the vasanas is incomplete. Absolutely, it will fail. Big jnanis, big yogis will definitely fall, 100%. That is a in our scriptures, and the experiences that have been laid down over a period of time have endorsed this view that there has to be a complete study, not only about vasanas, but also how to prevent replicating those patterns within us. And that is why vasanas are a very, very important part of our study, a part of our dharmic practice, part of our ISIP practices. So if you see, coming back to the same example of the bird, tries to move into freedom frantically, but you see, the pattern of the bird is always to take a flight upwards to the sky. But the way that she has entered into that, through that hole, to the gap, is from probably from the left side center or somewhere down. It's not up. But her flight is always up. And that flight is called as a tendency of the bird. The bird has a tendency to always fly into the sky. That's a problem. That's the same thing within us. We have certain tendencies and patterns within us that dominate our way to respond and react to situations. When we are triggered by certain things, there is instant reaction. Very important to study this. If you see and observe the bird, after a few hours or something, it will find its way. Maybe a day it will take, but it will find its way eventually. It finds its way only when it learns to remain quiet. When it knows that all the attempts that she's making, frantic attempts to move into the sky, into freedom, has failed, then suddenly it says, okay, I need to rest and just stay where I am. Instead of trying to seek it in a habitual pattern and try to find it, in order to find liberation, in order to go into freedom, it first decides to, before it can find a way to sneak out, it decides to be quiet. It relaxes. See? And so, same thing we have to learn in our behavior. We've got to learn from that bird. If we have to become free from that net which has trapped us into something, then we must know how to restrain first our habitual pattern. Because if we are going to be involved, engaged in the normal pattern of taking a flight in order to fix something, in order to change something frantically, in a panic, then it will affect us. It will not be able to, you'll never be able to see clearly what the escape is into freedom is. What is that net that binds us, that holds us, that imprisons us? And what is the way out, away from that suffering, away from this pain that we are experiencing? How do I get free? How do I become free? Learn from the bird. Relax. Relax first. I will give you a simple formula which I devised. If you put the steps properly, you will be able to decode your vasanas. And then you are able to work against, you will be able to eliminate the vasanas one by one. You just have to put this formula. So the formula is, which I have with my study over a period of time, working with people and experimenting on myself, I've come to a formula which is called as RRPGM. RRPGM. So let me take you one by one to this formula. What is the first R? So there are two R's. RR. Let's take the first R. The first R is recognizing that there's a pattern within you, and then restraining yourself from doing that, engaging in it, giving power to it. Say you always like to get worried about something, and you like to work over again over the same thing over and over again. A particular problem is not getting resolved, and the only way that you know how you can solve that is to think about it all the time. That's what happens, right? naturally happens. It's a natural thing. If something bothers you, it remains, it sticks in your mind. It's a sticking factor within you. You can't just get rid of it like that. So what you do is you keep thinking about it. You try to you put more and more action into it. You reinforce it. You fortify it. You make it more stronger. That's the thing with vasanas, is that when you, any action that you do further leaves an imprint in it, a more stronger, a more deeper imprint. So the more you have done the same mistake, it reinforces that more strongly. So if you, and it's going to be more difficult to get rid of it, to eliminate it. So remember one thing. That's why start now. The moment you realize, okay, you respond and react in an angry way to somebody, and this is the way you react to somebody, then stop it. You have a choice. Make that choice. So the first thing is restraining your habitual pattern. You restrain yourself from doing a certain thing which you are habitually doing it. So if you are worrying about certain things, or you are going through certain things over and over again, or if you are doing certain patterns which are causing you more distress and pain, you start to recognize it and you restrain from it. No, I will not do it because choice is mine. Right. Now, what happens with this is, so the first is restraining. Now, as you restrain it, because your habitual pattern is so strong, initially there will be an increase in the agitation in you. There will be an increase in the restlessness in you. Don't let that demotivate you, because you might think, oh, it's not working because I have done the opposite. But now, say you are always used to getting back at people. That's your pattern. If someone is angry, you get doubly angry with the person, let's say. But then now you decide, okay, this is not what I'm going to do. So what's going to happen is, because your pattern was something different, you tried something different, your restlessness will grow, especially when you're going to go to sleep. It's going to go in your mind. Oh, you know, I could have done this. Oh, the mind will tell you, why didn't you do this? You're kind of uncomfortable feeling within yourself. Don't worry about it. It is natural for it to happen because you're not used to this kind of behavior. You're now modifying your behavior. So this resistance is going to come, naturally going to come in you. That is the first thing. So you restrain those actions and those thoughts which are creating agitation in you. Number one. Number two, relax. Only when you're able to relax, you'll be able to find a solution to things. So second step is to just relaxing. The second R is to, no matter what, always tell yourself, everything is going to be good with this. Whatever is going to come out of this is going to be good. Learn to relax. No matter what you do, just learn to relax. Whether it is with your breathing, just watching the breath, being in the present, staying in the present and relaxing, sinking into your state of peace, of stillness within yourself, or offering blessing to the person who is disturbing you, sending him love, light, forgiveness. Whatever helps in a situation, do that. Whatever helps you to restrain yourself from taking a particular, reinforcing a particular habitual pattern, replicating a habitual pattern, do that. But do not restrain. And learn to relax. That is a 2 R's, double R. Okay? So there are two important things. This is very important. Restraining, relaxing. Then we come to the third one, processing. Now, processing takes time. What happens within you when you are restraining and relaxing? It's not that when you restrain and you relax, the problem is going to go away. It's not that when you're relaxing, you suddenly feel into great joy and love. Oh, the meditation has started to work. No, on the contrary, it can become worse. Because you are becoming aware, you're becoming silent, you're trying to fight against the tide. And when I talk about fighting against the tide, what exactly is happening at that time? Watch. You will see that there is a thinking mind and there is a discerning mind. And usually this thinking mind, discerning mind are not in harmony with each other in most cases. A thinking mind is like a barking dog. It keeps telling you, putting inputs about it. This is going to go wrong. That is going to go wrong. You know, it is something that is a mind that is spinning out of control, specifically when you have an agitation in place or a trigger in place. It is going to give you all the bad news in the world. Everything bad is going to happen with you. That is what the thinking mind tells you. Even the good that you are going to do is not going to be good for you. Everything wrong that can possibly go wrong with you, you will Google it, you will search it, you'll search all the bad information about it, what can go wrong with it, it could be a silly thing, but you'll spend hours trying to figure out what the thinking mind is telling you and acting on that. So when you're processing it, just watch how your thinking mind is going. It is going to tell you the pattern. It will tell you all those things that you are thinking in the past, that you have thought in the past, and how you have acted in the past. That is what it does. Clearly, the thinking mind is nothing but all the projections that have come and your fears and the conditionings that have happened in the past. All of that is stored in the thinking mind. And then buried under the thinking mind, just beneath it, is a discerning mind. The mind wisdom. The mind of wisdom. The mind of jnana, which tells you, no matter what, it's all good. You know, you must have all experienced this, no matter how shitty things happen outside. Something within us tells us always, everything is going to be good. All is well. Right? Every time, no matter what, to anybody, to me or to your friend or to around anybody, one thing is always going to come out. A voice is going to come. It may sound very, very quiet, very silent, very soft, very meek, and not too strong initially. But it will always tell you something. And that will tell you, you know, don't worry. Everything is going to be fine. And then around it will be this thinking mind spinning out of control, with emotions spinning out of control, which is also happening at the same time. Both are taking place almost the same time. Now, observe that. Thinking mind is you, the pattern that you have laid, those seeds that you have laid in the past, those actions that you have laid in the past are now coming in front of you. When a trigger presents itself and a vasana takes place, an agitation takes place, it shows you a mirror of who you are. That is thinking mind. But underneath it is this discerning mind. So now ask this question. Where is a thinking mind? Where is a discerning mind? Just ask this question. And you will just be aware. Don't have to do anything. Don't try to stop thought. You will not be able to stop thought. If you're able to stop thought for some time, it will come back, bounce back again with 3 times, 4 times more force. Don't try to stop it. Just watch, observe. What is the thinking mind doing? Okay? And then try to find out where is the discerning mind? Where is the thinking mind? Where is the discerning mind? Just watch. Discerning mind is going to surface. It's going to come from there as you question this to yourself. As you put this question to yourself, these two questions will come. The third question while you do the processing is, what can I do about this situation? And the fourth question is, what can I not do about this situation? You see, not everything has a solution that you can do. There are things that you can do. There are things that you can't do. What you can do is an action, which is the right action to do to resolve a particular problem. And what you cannot do is destiny. you just can't, you don't have control about everything in your life. Certain things can happen, certain things you can do, certain things you can't do, right? And so these four questions become the part of your processing. Where is the thinking mind? Where is the discerning mind? What can I do? What can I not do about the situation? If the agitation continues, you come back to relaxing, restraining. You continue to this, doing this. Don't go near the trigger. Restrain yourself. Restrain your habitual pattern. Then relax into your being. Process the feelings. Process and ask these four questions. And after that, as you finish this, a time will come as you are becoming better with this process. I call the G. G is called the gift from the universe. G is the gift from the mother, from the universe, from consciousness, which takes away the power, destroys the power of the thinking mind, and intensifies the power of the thinking mind, which was running out of control. The movement is automatically arrested with the process by doing these four questions in the process when you put this. And a gift comes which says, okay, first, the discerning mind tells you exactly what you can do in this situation. And the discerning mind also tells you what you cannot do in a situation, and you are at peace with it. When you become at peace with it, there is no more conflict, no more problems. This is the gift of the universe. You see, this is the G part of it. And the last is M, which is you meet the trigger again. So the circle is not complete yet of destroying and eliminating the vasana till you go and meet the trigger again. So the end of it, whatever was causing agitation in you, unless you don't go and meet it again, you will not know whether the seeds are destroyed or not destroyed. So this is the process which I am calling as double R PGM process of eliminating vasanas completely. Again, I am explaining to you what is the five steps. First is restraining your habitual patterns by being aware of it. Second is to relax into your being, into your center, no matter what happens. Third is processing by asking these four questions. Where is my thinking mind? Where is my discerning mind? What can I do and what can I not do? On successful completion of this, there is going to be a gift from the universe that you receive, which tells you exactly what you can do and what you can't do. You will make peace with both. Not only that, you will come to know a glimpse about your own strengths that happens while you are doing this process. And the last of it is you go and meet the trigger again to check how you are feeling about it. Is the seed still remaining? Because if seeds remain between the trigger and you, any form of agitation remains between you and the trigger, then you come back again to resolve that. That's how the law is. That's how the law of karma works. Anything that gives you, which creates any kind of restlessness in relation to a particular trigger, you have to meet that person trigger again till you reach a state of equanimity where there is no thing that triggers both of you. Till that time, you will have attachment. And this is the vasana that I'm talking about, is a bandh vasana. Of course, by putting this technique of double RPGM, it does not guarantee you that you are going to be definitely be able to eliminate vasana completely. because it depends upon grace. And grace depends upon your intention. Unless and until there is definite intention of being 100% that you are 100% sure that you want to break free from this and not get bonded into something, not be held into ransom, not be held as a prisoner. Unless you don't want that very deeply, you will not have grace. And that means that you have to work on it. There is no shortcut. You cannot break through the vasana by anybody's blessing. I'm telling you that. Unless you don't work yourself, because whatever seeds you have sowed, only you can remove them. Whatever you have done, only you can undo it. Meditation, attending satsang, being in retreat, being with a guru, feeling the shakti, those are all complementary things. They are not the real things. They are not real. They only give you inspiration. So that you could eliminate your vasanas. That is the cause. The cause of your coming and suffering. The cause of your continuous births and rebirths. The cause of getting into a karmic cycle is because of you putting those seeds again and again. Unless and until you are very clear that spiritual path involves that. You should not think yourself to be spiritual just because you have some enlightenment experiences. That is not. That is complementary. That complements. That gives you inspiration. Okay, you are in the right path. You are feeling the shakti. Okay, very good. You are feeling peace of mind. Very nice. That is giving you signpost. They are not the goal. That is not the real goal. And I always say this again, and that's what makes these teachings different. And I'm not blowing my trumpet in that. I know in today's world, nobody is talking much about vasanas at all. But this was pivotal teaching of ancient saints and sages before anything else. If you remember, and Daniel Masumi knows about it, when they went to Muktananda's ashram, they were first told to do seva, to purify themselves. They were not told, go and do meditation for 3 hours, 4 hours. First, do seva, purify yourself. Get to know how you are going to. Same thing, I think, with Anjali and Shailendra Bhai when they were with Dadaji. They were told to first go into the fire to burn themselves, to purify themselves, to humble themselves, because that is the seed. That's the biggest seed of vasanas come from egoic actions, egoic thoughts. You could be a great spiritual thinking, great spiritual experiences you have, but it could be a big trap because you're not addressing the major issue there, and which is those patterns that create agitation. I know some people, I will not name, certain jnanis are very much agitated these days about certain things in their life. They don't understand that where they are trapped by anything. The liberation means you're breaking the shackles of any prison. That is the meaning of liberation. That is the meaning of self-realization. If you keep being in a prison, and no matter what kind of experiences you are having, there is no good. Freedom means I should be able to fly, soar into the sky, into the open sky like a bird. That means nobody holds me into any place. I am not held by anybody. That is the meaning of freedom and liberation. Where I can reach to the highers, no attachment. Attachment is a curse. Attachment means there is a play of bandha vasana there. How can you be attached and claim yourself to be a teacher or a guru? It's not working. It's not, you've not worked on that basic vasana, that means. So one has to continuously, you know, it is also not just valid for people who are sadhaks or people who are doing sadhana, but mostly for jnanis and yogis. They get very much easily attached to many things. They may get attached to power. They may get attached to students. They may get attached to so many things in their life. and they bind the student together to them. They bind relationships together and form a certain kind of comfort. Now, is that not vasana? Of course. When you live together and you are cherishing the truth or sharing truth, then it has to be done in a spirit of freedom. Not in the spirit of, oh, I need to bind you together, then only I will give you truth. That is very very conditional form of love, very conditional form of teaching. There is no such, nobody's here in this world. Not only nobody, even you are not what you think you are is not yours. Even you are not yours. Because his body will fall, what you see on on the camera or on the mirror is false. Even that is not yours. What are you going to hold? Could you hold your age? Could you hold how you look? You can decorate yourself, become fashion designer and everything, but age will catch up. Nature will tell you all the time. See, when you are awake at that time, all vasana is there. When you go to sleep, you have no need for anything. You are in peaceful state. But it is lying inside the bed of your subconscious. The moment you get up again in the morning, you are again into the vasana. See, whatever problem you have before you slept, when you slept, they are gone. But when you rise again, it comes. Similarly, when you die, you go to the big sleep. But does not mean the vasana is finished or tendencies is finished. No. When you're going to be born again, you're going to be born away with the same. Nature has already told us, has given answer to us about it. Now the choice is yours. Do you want to free yourself from these tendencies or vasanas and be free? Or you want to keep yourself entertained yourself by being associated in a toxicity that is happening with people around you, whatever relationships and however relationships you are doing. If a particular relationship bothers you too much, any relationship, whether it is a relationship with your health, relationship with money, relationship with a person, you must work on breaking that connection, the nexus, the toxic nexus that it has with you, which affects you. You have to restrain. You have to learn to modify your behavior. You must process it, and then you must wait for the gift to come. You must wait. Learn to wait for grace to flow. Don't try to snatch grace from the divine. It's never going to happen. Divine is never going to be pleased by you closing eyes and, you know, going into the state, breathing exercises and mantras and mufuing all these things. No. Those are just complementary, where you feel Shakti. The divine is more happy and responds to you when you are work on your patterns that cause suffering, agitation to yourself, destroy them, eliminate them in others, help them to get eliminated, help them, learn how their process is happening. One part of vasana, and this is very beautiful, is that the teaching is like this, that when you start to do this, you can actually come to know what the other person's vasana is. Where the other person's bandha vasana is. When the thinking mind agitates you so much, so many things start to happen. Emotions fires up, adrenaline fires up. Nothing that you see, feel, smell, taste, all the senses, they become very numb, you can say. You come to a state of depression and worries. Worries means certain things that you're not able to resolve. And You don't have to resolve them. That is what I'm trying to tell you. Don't be in a hurry to resolve things. Wait. Check the process. Use those four tools that I have laid down. Watch the thinking mind. Watch the discerning mind. Ask what can you do, what you cannot do. And the gift will be that the answer will come to you automatically. What you can do and what you cannot do. And you will be in complete peace with that answer. When you are in complete harmony and peace with that answer, and you have met a joy and feeling of happiness within you, and things turn up to your favor, this is what happens. Things just automatically turn up for your favor when you break the bond of a vasana. When you destroy a vasana, eliminate a vasana, eradicate a vasana, the world which is your projection starts to respond in a positive manner to things around you. This is the gift that I'm talking about. But you cannot expect the gift without working through the fire. You have to burn into it. You have to burn through it to be able to purify yourself. Gold gets more purified by putting into fire. You have to treat yourself as gold and burn in that fire. And you will come out to be more purified than ever. More sharp. Intellectually, your discerning mind will exactly tell you. Then it becomes easy because you see the play. And I have seen this over and over again. Spirituality is not about, oh, everything is very comfortable for me. Sometimes life brings about situations where they're not very comfortable. You know, it happens. But it is a great opportunity for all of us that when that happens, that we are able to process it. Right? It's like, you know, so many things happening. Simple example with Ryan's and our case, when he was going to come here, there was agitation about it. His mind, my mind, it could have gone anyway, anywhere. It was a goof up, but life happens. Nobody planned this. Nobody plans this. It happens. But you apply the principles. I tell you, when you apply the principles, it becomes very easy. It's a mathematical formula, almost, I can say, almost to the precision of accuracy, if you get it properly. And we came out fine. Ultimately, the result was amazing. And should he had not come, let's say, may not have worked out too. It's not guaranteed it may have been worked out. He would have been able to come. It is possible he may not have been able to come. I would have felt sad, but there would be peace. There would be acceptance. There would be fine. There would be joy. There would be happiness. There would not be any, you know, oh, why happened like that? Why happened? When you put this process together, you come out very clean from this process. But life will throw up all these kind of challenges in your life. It's never going to be amongst yourself, with me, especially with me, it's going to happen. Because that's how things get projected to the guru, to the teacher, around you, with me, always going to happen. Amongst yourself also, because there were so many thoughts that may going to come. In relation to me, in relation to each other. And I feel that is what we have to do more. There is where we have to work more. Rather than working on how my experiences are shaping up. How much thoughtless state I am in. Or how much more joy or happiness I am feeling. The more important thing is to tease out those very little things. Those very sticky things that are inside of us. To continuously watch. What is it that I'll say it again. What is it that sticks? What is a sticking point? What is a blind spot in me? The universe will always bring something. Be watchful. And then when it comes to you, be very happy about it. Take it as a blessing. Take it as an opportunity of smiling, of saying, there it is. Yes, wonderful. Be positive about it. Don't say, oh no, this is the reason why. Oh, because of this person. I was so happy. And this person just took me out of my happiness. Oh, I ever saw this thing. This person is to be blamed for that. I am having this problem because of this person. And my meditation has just got spoiled by that person. Oh, this, whenever I see this person, I get agitated. These are all, universe will bring out those things in your life which you need to learn. Any person, any situation is because of your own self. Nobody is like that. Nobody is creating this for you. You have yourself created this. Question is, are you willing to see? Question is, are you that honest with yourself? And then if you are honest about it, what are you doing about it? Just being honest, there are people like that also. Oh, I know I smoke. I know I can get cancer. So what? It's like, you know, it's fine. Let me enjoy. Let me do this. And when that happens, then what happens? Then they're in deep shit after that. Then they don't say it. So it builds up. It builds up. It builds up so much that you cannot take out the rubbish out afterwards. It's very difficult. It requires a humongous effort. Not that it cannot. It can, of course. Everything is possible. But tease out that very, keep teasing out, removing that thing that is agitating, that is acting as a sticking point. Watch it, what it is doing to you. Watch the thinking mind, how it is influencing you, how it is creating restlessness within you. What all things is throwing to you. Don't believe any of that. Don't believe any of what the thinking mind is telling you. It's nothing but your own fears and your own projections. It's far away from truth. Far, far away from truth. And learn to see the discerning mind. That mind that tells you all is well. All is beautiful. That voice will always be heard along with this voice. Try to see that. Try to hear that. Try to connect to that. Just do that. Don't try to stop the thinking mind. You will not. It will always be spinning out of control. But just keep looking at that. Keep being with the discerning mind. And then you will know what you can do, what you can't do. You'll come to know your weaknesses. You'll come to know your strengths. You will come to know what you can do very easily. It will be so clear, because what the thinking mind does is that it creates a kind of state of cloudiness, a smoky screen around you. It's called the brain fog. Your brain does not work properly. There's no clarity. You cannot see the truth. Just like the bird, it could not see from where it came. It went through something, but can't figure out how to go out from there, because there's a smoky screen there. And the smokiness does not allow you to see properly the truth. So till the smoke is there, till the thinking mind is churning strongly, it will churn out smoke. Remember that. Don't get upset by that. One thing is, relax. Always know this tool. If nothing works, learn to just relax. Do whatever you takes to relax into your being. And then you ask these four questions. Watch thinking mind, what is doing? Discerning mind, what is doing? What I can do, what I can't do. These last two questions are what is the gift that you're going to receive from the universe for the work that you've done. That's how it works. And definitely you come out stronger and very much full of wisdom after that process. You get to know a lot of things. And I'm telling you, small, small things bother you. Small, small things. Always be observer. Always. Observe what is doing. So vasanas are the most important thing that we have to work on. Apply this again and again and see. You know, I like to know how you're applying it, your process of it. Whenever you get a chance of something, because I know everybody in the situation that they are in at this moment will always find things that are going to trigger, intensify your vasanas within you. Okay. So, I like to take two or three questions. If there are any, anybody has, please raise your hand. If not, then it's fine. Oh, yes. Yes, Ashish, first and then. Yes, Ashish.
Yeah. So, Rajiv ji, I don't know how it happens, but three main questions that have been troubling me for the past 2 months. Two, you have answered. The second one happened today, and I think with this process. But one thing which still is open, and I wanted to really seek your guidance on that is, so the first step is the most difficult one, to restrain, right? And I have been trying a lot, all possible things, right from going to awareness mode, going to focusing on the breathing. But, you know, it happens in the fraction, first 2 seconds. You know, if those 2 seconds where you forget about everything, you snap. Let's say I have this tendency to snap. Now, my son gets to bear the brunt of that a lot. So when I snap, I know that I have done wrong. But after, you know, it has already happened. So I don't know then how to control. So few things that I have started doing which has helped me has been that I immediately touch the wall. Or I remove my slippers and touch my bare feet on the earth, on the floor. Yes. So that grounds me, and so it has helped sometimes. You know, after that 2 or 3 seconds have gone, then you are in control. Then it's back. So is there something that can be done?
Of course, I always tell everybody to put their tongue reverse. Remember?
Yes.
And keep. Yeah. See, this is the thing. You don't listen. Everybody doesn't do it. You see, it is not when I give a particular thing, then you ask me this question again. But I have repeatedly told in satsangs that just keeping the tongue closed is going to help a lot in your action. Because when you keep the tongue rolled upwards towards the palate, on the top palate, right? The first action that human beings have is that thinking mind starts, right? Because someone says something, immediately thinking mind starts, and then the emotions happen in a split of a second, and the tongue comes out, and you lash out, like you said, right? But when you are doing this and keeping the tongue, remembering that every time you are sitting quietly, you're going to keep your tongue rolled up and keep. Now, it is not going to happen at a time when you are already getting triggered. That time you not remember that your tongue has to be kept rolled up. Yes. But I'm telling you, just this one sadhana in this lifetime, if you can do, lot of your vasanas can get automatically resolved. Because tongue is like a sword, like an arrow that has left. Once it has gone, it is going to meet something or other. It is going to destroy something or other. Now you cannot take it back. It has gone from the quiver, it is fired. Once you say something to somebody, that always leaves an imprint on somebody's mind.
Yes.
It's always good to withhold your tongue. Especially in Kali Yuga. When Kali is there with the tongue coming out, she's telling you, keep the tongue rolled up. Khechari, keep it like that. That she's telling this in Kali Yuga. Today's Yuga is Kali Yuga. She's giving maximum emphasis to your tongue. Those people who are able to keep their tongue in control are very, very successful.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. The people who are able to keep their tongue in control are very much successful. And the people who are not able to keep their tongue in control are not that successful. No matter how you feel they are honest or how this thing, but if you are not keeping your tongue in control, you will not be able to, because it requires a lot of discipline to do so. But that does not mean you suppress yourself. It's a lot of difference. A lot of people suppress themselves and thinking, oh, I'm telling them to suppress. No. It is sadhana. Any suppression, when you keep your tongue rolled up and keep, you will never have a feeling of suppression. I'll tell you that. It is yogic science. Why? Because the connection of the tip of the tongue, the energy, because everything has energy in it. Now, when you restrain yourself, from something, energy has to flow. Energy has to take some action. So people suppress it, they keep it, they say, okay, someone has said something, now I should put my mind somewhere else. No, that is suppression. What you are doing is doing a sadhana at that time. You are keeping it rolled so that tip of the tongue can have a connection with the brain. That is the whole idea about khichdi now. So keep it like that. Instead of doing it like this, your method is very good. Nothing wrong. I mean, whatever helps to restrain yourself from it, very good. So even if you're touching the wall, and you see, if you observe, like you yourself said to me that after some time, what happened is that, you know, you don't feel that you need to, the urge is gone.
Correct.
To be violent, to have an rage, because that moment has passed.
Correct.
Right? When the moment passes, you are at peace. It is a question about how you are able to manage your vasana.
Yes.
At that moment.
Yes.
Manage yourself. It takes skill to manage yourself. And that requires you to be very mindful. And that requires discipline. So only awareness will not do. There has to be a pattern of your body that when someone gives you a trigger like this, your body responds in this way. An opposite pattern has to be established. So keeping the tongue oppositely every time, or whatever time you can remember spontaneously, will help. Then someone triggers you, you keep your tongue and say, okay, I am doing sadhana. You know, and it requires a lot of discipline.
Some, yeah.
But I'm telling you, the fruits are very good.
This will help.
Yes. Because once you are, and not everybody can do, I mean, of course, we should believe everybody can do it, because it's not very, but we must make that effort. You know, last month, you know, there was a sadhana that I put Diya into, and very much fantastic. Why? Because intentions were so strong into it. The motive is so strong into it, results was good. Has to be, because she put so much into it at the sadhana. That is what we have to do. We have to make it as our most important thing in our life at that time. So if you're taking one thing, is that you are raised towards your children, let us say, for your this thing, one thing. Okay, learn to keep it. And keep and work on it. Work on it again and again, again and again, again and again, till it does not become another pattern in you. It does not create another groove in your mind. You're making fresh groove in your mind.
Correct.
Okay? That is.
Thank you, sir.
Huh? Take care? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes, Kavita ji, tell me.
Namaskar, Rajiv ji. I joined in a little bit late, but I was intrigued by the five steps you were talking about. Do you mind repeating that again?
Yeah, you can always see the video, but I'll repeat it again for you. This thing is this double R P G M. So double R is restraining yourself from the pattern, relaxing into your being, no matter what it takes, remembering any person, being, or sending love to somebody, forgiveness to somebody, or coming to your breath, present movement, whatever is called as relaxing. One is restraining, relaxing, then P is processing. So you have these four questions that I said about, which is knowing the working of the thinking mind, the discerning mind, what I can do, what I can't do. These are the four important questions that you ask, and then the gift comes as you relax more and more into your being and able to do it. The gift comes from the universe, which tells you exactly what you do. See, what happens is most people don't know, like the bird, frantically trying to get an escape, running here, running there. That's what we do. We frantically try to find escape to some place. Okay, I'll get freedom from here. Okay, I'll get relief here. Okay, I'll get a release here. But we will not get it unless and until we do not decode the working of the thinking mind. Because the thinking mind is creating fogginess around us. We cannot see the gap from where we came. And because we try to find happiness in a particular place, it's never going to, sometimes we'll find, sometimes we won't find in a particular place. What happens if we can't find at a particular place? You know, what happens if it agitates us? Certain things we think, a job or relationship or a thing that happens in life. In fact, instead of giving us happiness and respite, it starts to agitate us. Then what am I going to do in that case? So we try to get out of the relationship. We try to get out of this, and we do it in a most unprofessional way, or not in a very spiritual way. We do it by harming ourselves. We do it by violent ways. We try to create more of same patterns which I have learned in the past. Similarly, things we do it here. It's further reinforcing the patterns again, what are there. And those patterns are creating suffering in us. You see, it's a whole vicious circle. And so I need to start reversing those patterns in me. So those acts that I was doing, which you are very much know, what are those acts that are creating unhappiness or restlessness within myself, I know those patterns. And I must make those effort to change those patterns. Correct? And once I'm able to do that, then a gift comes from the universe. This is the most beautiful thing that I like in this formula, or in this technique that has been devised, is that within a few times or a few ways of doing it, you get a gift from the universe, which I call as a G, because it's G is for gift, right? So it tells you exactly what you need to do. Once the brain fogginess is gone, because you are able to see through the fogginess or the cloudiness that the brain, the thinking mind has created, and the discerning mind comes up, you can exactly know what is the thing that you need to do to create an impact, or to create a meaningful meaningfulness in your life, effectiveness, you can say, in your life with something. You know. So that's how the patterns are working for this. You become evolved your intelligence. You evolve your way of creative thinking. You evolve your way of doing things differently, in a much more brilliant way than others can do. Basically, that's the whole thing about it. Yeah? So, and then the last is the meeting the trigger again. So, it's like the circle is not complete till you just go and don't see, okay, there's something more left in it or not left in it. You know, and then you process this again. You can meet it, any, you know, universal. But till that time, so the karma is finished. Till that time, you'll have to keep going through this cycle again and again. That's what happens. So remember, bandh vasana. This is what we're talking about. When I'm talking about vasana here, I'm talking about bandh vasana. I'm not talking about bhog vasana. Okay? So bhog vasana is something that you can manage the agitation easily. Bandh vasana is something that agitates you a lot. Right? So you, okay, it's fine, Pavita? Right? Any questions with this? All good? Okay. Anybody else has a question? Anything? Anything that we need to clarify? Yes, Anjali, you want to ask a question? Yes, Anjali.
Yeah, I just was wondering whether between who is the thinking mind and where is the discerning mind, is there any scope for who is this happening to? Yes.
You know, well, the whole practice of inquiry is this only. When we are talking about inquiry, this is a step that we are taken in between that step. Because to whom it is happening is a part of self-inquiry that is told in Advaita. But the point is that kind of teaching is valid only when you are in a very peaceful, serene state of mind, where the thinking mind is not really clogged and where your mind is very peaceful, you know. And that's why you will see that when you apply this to whom it is happening, it only stays for some time. But thinking mind comes back with full force after some time. So that movement is very fine, but then it comes back with renewed, you know, strength, because the seeds are not gone by that. By that questioning, it does not go. You have to keep looking at what the thinking mind is doing and what the discerning mind is. So both these things, you have to keep watching it instead of trying to escape what the thinking mind is doing, you know. So let that happen. Watch it taking place, the process. And what you're talking about is to whom it is happening is a result, is a gift that happens automatically as you watch, as you're being aware of it. Right?
Discerning mind is also a gift then.
Discerning mind is the gift. But the voice of the discerning mind is, you can say, it's suppressed by the chaos that is created by the thinking mind. So that's the problem. If only the discerning mind is there, everything is fine. Inquiry is done very easily. If a small little thing happens and it does not agitate you, you know, like, oh, why is not my brand of ice cream available? You know, and you ask this question, to whom it is happening. It's a very easy thing. You go into peace and joy. You enjoy whatever ice cream it is there. But that is only ice cream, because it does not create such agitation. But if someone whom you trust destroys your trust, your faith, your happiness, then that will agitate you so much. And that time this process has to be utilized. Because that time this will not work. To whom it is happening, how it is happening, where is who it is. That time all those are only philosophical questions then. Those happened with gyanis at the last stage of when they have perfected this art. But not with us. What I'm saying is. And even there they get trapped. Even them, I have not seen one who doesn't get trapped. I have only seen one who doesn't get trapped. I'm not saying, not joking. I have not met one.
If you stay with the, you know, the thinking mind, one can continue staying with it.
No, you're not staying with it. You are only watching it, how it is happening.
Burning with it, right?
Aren't you burning? You are watching the thinking mind, the fogginess that is created, and you're also watching the discerning mind. That's why you're asking these two questions. Where is my thinking mind and where is my discerning mind? So as you keep watching it, the voice of discernment, discerning mind will increase, intensify, and the thinking mind will go and somewhere. So you have to learn, trust this process. Instead of trying to go into inquiry mode, into that subject I, who's experiencer, which will actually fall because it's not going to help you. Practically, it doesn't help you at that time when you are going through intense emotions and feelings and rage and whatnot within your body. Your mind is getting out of control, spinning out of control. At that time, you cannot find the subject I in this. It's not possible because the thinking mind is going at such speed that it eclipses the vision of the eye at the background and the feeling of the background. It's not possible. So rather than that, you just accept this is what is happening. Expect. You know why I'm telling you this? You expect that thinking mind will have its time to go through. Watch it go through it. Take your time out. Take your time for it to, because it's playing out something that you have laid down in the past. So it has to go through a certain motion. Spin, yeah, because you have laid it down in the past, it has to work it out through you. Instead of working it out outside, wherein you reinforce more of these actions, you actually let it, allow it to work. So anybody who tells me, oh, my mind is spinning out of control, I say it's excellent. You know why? Because you are working out your karma. So you be happy about it. Don't be sad about it. Don't think, oh my God, why this is a problem? My meditation is not helping. Exactly helping you. That's why it's happening. This is why it's exactly happening you. You know, it's helping you because you are able to tease out. You're able to remove. You're able to get the muck out of yourself. And unless until the thinking mind does not fulfill its full motion, you will not be able to go into the discerning mind properly. That's what I'm trying to say. Which means you will not be able to go into the jnana state and establish there. Because the thinking mind will always come back again and again, crawl its way back if you don't allow it to happen fully. So don't try to suppress it through any meditations. Don't try to suppress it by anything. Just allow it to move through you.
Allow it without letting it reinforce the groove.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it
again, you're reinforcing. Yeah. If you act again on that. That's why I'm saying, watch. Just watch. Yeah. Right? Okay, last question. And then that's okay. Shankar. Yes, Shankar, tell me. Boliye. Yes, Ankur.
So within that Bandhetu Vasna, how I see is there are two kinds of vasanas within the Bandhetu. One is related to the physical body and one is psychological. Mm-hmm. Physical is a part where you are addicted to certain things. And then there is a second part where you keep on thinking about taking a revenge on somebody, which bothers you so much. If you look at the person, it bothers you. If you think about the person, it bothers you. But that is psychological. And then there is a physical part. If I don't smoke or drink cola for 6 months, I get rid of it. I don't feel tempted anymore. So is there a real differentiation between physical addiction and vasanas and psychological?
You can create your own, and you are right in that particular thing. You can, within that vasana, you can say that's physical and psychological, but ultimately it's a tendency. Tendency is to smoke, which you know is going to create agitation in you. Tendency to hate somebody, tendency to think about somebody over and over, being obsessive about somebody, all tendency. So you're obsessed with smoking, you're obsessed with somebody.
Mm.
You're obsessed with your own self also. Often that's what happens with many people too.
Mm.
Not just other people, you're obsessed about yourself, obsessed about your health, obsessed about any kind of obsession is going to create you agitation.
Is there an easier one to tackle, like say my sankalpa of not smoking on the weekdays and only on the weekends? That has helped me now to a certain extent. Now, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday comes, cigarettes are not in my mind at all. It's becoming easier now. And but the psychological part is there, where I try not to think about a person or think about incidents which have happened in the past. That comes up. Of course, now with all the teachings and with all this, while it's getting better, but the psychological part is a difficult part when compared to the physical part. The physical part, there is a hope to get rid of it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Always.
Psychological is a difficult
that's
one.
That's why most psychological issues are more difficult than physical.
Okay.
Issues. Always there is. We have more psychological problems rather than physical problems. Our sufferings are more psychological, and then because of psychological problems, we may have physical problems. That can happen because it creates physical problem within us.
Yes.
Psychological problem can create physical problem. But some people are physical problem, but they don't have psychological problem.
No, I mean, when I say physical problems, addictions, drinking a cola.
Understand what I've said.
Yeah, okay.
I said one thing. Understand why it is more deeper than the physical. People who have physical problem may not have psychological problem.
Hmm.
They may be peace with that. But people who have physics like psychological problem will have physical problem. So obviously psychological problem is more deeper than physical problem. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
So whatever you're doing, whether it is physical or psychological, you want to make a difference in that, it's fine. But according to me, don't make such distinction. Anything that is tendency that is creating agitation in you, try to get rid of it.
Okay. Yeah.
If smoking is still getting you agitation, don't do it. Don't smoke. Get rid of it completely. If it does not give you agitation, then you can smoke sometimes. Though I will not advise. You understand what I'm saying? But work more on psychological issues.
Okay.
But physical issues that you worked on is very good. It gives you, because you're able to work on the cigarette smoking, like you said, Monday, Tuesday, whatever days, you're able to maintain discipline. Why can't you do the same thing in psychological? You take one step at a time. Your anger, you start with physical something and then go with psychological. So your way is right way. You started with cigarette. Now you go more deeper, you know, you think about somebody, give him love. Do the opposite. Whatever you're hating is there, you give him love, give him forgiveness, give him happiness, give him light. Give whatever is the opposite of your pattern. Do the opposite of it. Huh?
Okay. Yeah.
So that will make you relax. That's the second step. Restraining yourself from your normal habitual pattern. Anything that make you relax. Sending love, sending light, being in this present moment, being in this.
So if that person's image comes up again, instead of me having a quarrel with that person psychologically, I should say, you know, that's a great person. It's all, you know,
Correct. Do that way.
Okay.
If the opposite, replicate, or opposite it. Just go the opposite way. You can do it.
Okay.
Whatever make you relax, do that.
Yes. Okay.
I may not do that process, but each one can do any process that makes them feel relaxed. Somebody can not want to do that. Somebody might want, okay, I'll just be in the breathing. Yeah. Somebody may say, I'll just be in the present situation. So it depends what can work. You find out that what makes you relax. The idea is to make you relax, and then only you will be able to do the process, the four process, what you thinking mind, the discerning mind, and the, what I can do and what I can't do. Opposite situation. Apply it now.
Yeah, I'll experiment with this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Okay. And I'll see you all after 14 days. It's very nice. And we'll talk more about this whenever. And if anybody has any questions, you can contact me. I really want you all to work on this more than anything else, because that to me is the most important aspect of our study than anything else. Whatever mantras we are doing, Devi mantras we are doing, very good, very nice. All Kriyas we are doing, very good, very nice. Whatever meditation, third eye, sastra, all are very good. But don't leave this. This is our major, major thing. This is our foundation. Because if vasanas are not are strong, our foundation is going to be weak. Remember this. It nothing on top of vasanas can stay. Nothing. You have to make a very strong anti-vasana state of yourself. Right? All right. Okay. I love you all. Take care. And I'll see you next time. I'm here for you anytime. And I'm there on the mobiles. And I'm there on the calls or anything. Please let me know if anything comes up. And if any situation comes up, if you want to talk to me about it, please be free about it. Yeah. Thank you. Love you all.